Tonight, we're gonna pray for. Tonight we're having prayer for missions and world missions and prayer. Remember this verse in Isaiah 56:7. I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Remember, Jesus quotes this. And there's a lot of ways to look at that. My house will be called a house of prayer, the fact that we're supposed to be in prayer in God's house. It's a house of prayer for all nations, meaning all nations can come to it. But I also have thought about it this way. My house should be a house of prayer for all nations, in that God's house, the people of God, pray for the nations. Not only that all nations will come and pray, but his house should be a house of prayer, and we should be a house of prayer that prays for the nations. And so this is kind of what came to, you know, I came to start realizing, is we need to be more intentional about being a house of prayer for the nations. Not just being a house of prayer that invites the nations, but a house of prayer that we're actively praying for the nations. So tonight we're gonna pray for some different things. Last month I showed you some videos that were pretty horrifying and heartbreaking. Remember, continue to pray for the Horn of Africa in the famine that's going on there. Just probably the worst famine that they've ever had. Even worse than the one in the 80s that those of us who were alive during that time can remember, just how everywhere you turn, people were talking about this famine in Somalia and Ethiopia, and nobody's talking about it now, and it's even worse than it was then. So pray for that. Pray, as we talked about, those women that get kidnapped and sold in the sex trade in Asia and all around the world. I don't know about the rest of you, but last time we met, and I was just a mess for the longest time after our time in prayer last time. But also be in prayer. I gave out some of these handouts last time. I don't have really the extras today, about praying for the persecuted church. So let's look at a few of these things. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 with me. I'm going to look up a couple of these verses and just set the tone for what should we pray when we pray for missionaries. We're going to pray for some of our missionaries tonight. What type of prayer should we have for them? Ephesians chapter 6. And then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 4. So Ephesians 6 verses 19 and 20. Somebody read for us Ephesians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20. This is something that we definitely need to pray for missionaries around the world, and not just missionaries, but believers around the world, that as they're incarcerated, as they're thrown in prison, as they're beaten, that God would give them the ability to continue to preach the gospel boldly, that he would give them utterance. I'm guessing that's the King James?
Yes. Okay.
Give them utterance, give them words to speak, and give them courage so that they can fearlessly make known the gospel. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. So, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and then pray for us, the Apostle Paul's saying. Pray for me in chains. Okay? Pray for our missionaries. Pray for those around the world who are suffering for the gospel, that they would declare the gospel fearlessly and clearly, that people would be able to see through their suffering how incredible Christ is, and that a door would be open because of their suffering for the gospel. Where's your dad, by the way? Where's your dad? Okay. All right. Go to 2 Timothy. A lot of times, you know, when we just think about missionaries and people suffering around the world, we're just praying for God to get them out of their suffering, but we need to make sure that we're praying for God to use what they have experienced for his glory, and that the gospel would go out fearlessly from them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 8. Somebody read that. So the Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and then he says, for I am always being poured out as a drink offering. What is he saying? Do just like I've experienced, be prepared to do. Be prepared to be poured out as an offering, your life as an offering to the Lord, in that you will endure hardship, you will be an evangelist and preach and share the gospel and run the good race. He said, I've run the good race, and now I've fought the good fight, and there is stored up for me a prize. Okay. We need to pray that our missionaries would have that same view and that same desire and that same steadfastness, that they would endure and fight the good fight and win that crown which is stored up for those who endure to the end. Hebrews 11, one last verse we'll look at. Hebrews 11, 35. Others were tortured and refused to be released. Why? Because it wasn't about their physical suffering. It was about what Christ, what God would do in them and be glorified through them. So these are some things to keep in mind when we're praying for our missionaries. Not just praying for their comfort, but praying that they would have the ability to endure all the trials that come their way. Now, tonight we're going to pray for some of our missionaries, but to begin with, we're going to start off and pray for our friends in Guatemala. I figured we should definitely spend some time praying for Guatemala tonight. To begin with, we know Domingo Bernal, who came here last fall. Hopefully everybody got to meet him and got to know him a little bit. Some went to LSU and worked with him, so you guys know him pretty well as well. And we need to keep he and his family in prayer always. Domingo and his wife, and they're about a year and a half old now, I guess. Year and a half old baby. Year and 2 months, something like that. Definitely be in prayer for them. And pray also for the leadership team in the Nebach. N-E-B-A-J. It's pronounced Nebach. That's actually the city that... Gideon, don't worry about it. Just focus on this. That's the city that Domingo lives in, and that's the headquarters for the area of Guatemala that we are going to be ministering in. I want to remind you of what FH does in Guatemala so that you can continue to focus on that. And I have a video. First of all, let's show the slide. Okay, if you remember Guatemala, it's down below Mexico, right at the tip of where Mexico ends. Mexico and then Guatemala here. Go to the next slide. Chris, sorry about that. Make Guatemala City, and then we go, can you hit it one more time? Will it do anything? Nope. All right. Anyway, we'll be down in this area here, which is where Nebach is. It's not even on the map. And that's, okay. Yes.
Honduras
is right here. So you have Mexico, then Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, Central America. Honduras right here. Yep. Okay. So go ahead and play the video and get the lights too.
The name of our town is Rio Azul, which means blue river. Our town was named after a river that came out of the mountains that was very blue and very clean. But for many years, the people in our town could not get clean water.
It was very hard. My children and I would have to walk up to a spring that was a 20-minute walk from our home. And some days, we would have to make that trip 5 or 6 times a day.
Are you kidding?
Other groups promised to come and help us, but they never showed up. Our town leadership could not agree on what to do, and so nothing ever got done.
When the children were sick, I would feel very bad. But because of the water, it was very hard to change things. We would have to boil the water, but the children would get sick anyway. So when they were sick with diarrhea, you would know that the water they drank was not clean. Some children in our community would miss 10 or 12 days of school every month because they were sick from the water.
The FH came and said, we want to share with you our vision. Our vision is to work together as a team. If you're okay with that, then we'll work together. And they say, yeah, it sounds a good idea. Let's work together.
When FH came in, they taught us the importance of our leaders being unified, and they helped us build that unity.
FH came and showed us what we could achieve if we all acted together.
And the community, with their effort together and FH, were able to build the tank, including installing pipes in every single home, and everybody in the village has access to water right now. Everybody.
The first time I opened that pipe and there was water, I was so happy. But it was not just that day. It is a memory I have every time I am able to get water. I thank God for that every day.
I thank God and FH for bringing all the support. Now our entire community has water, and that is so important.
God wants us to work in unity, and now the whole community can see that we're doing that.
There are lives that are touched, and they are blessed because of your support. And when we say we walk with leaders, we also will say we walk with you as partners, because you are trusting the organization in supporting us financially with prayers and with many other resources.
It is impossible for us to pay back what has been given to us. But I want to give a hug and say thank you to FH and the donors who have given us this water. And I'm even more grateful because I know that you are not just doing it here, but in towns like ours around the world.
So I hope that you're praying for Food for the Hungry, for their leadership, like Domingo. See him again in the video here. Here's some things that we need to pray specifically for our village, Janlay, which is not very far from Rio Azul. Pray that the elders would be in unity and focused on Christ. Pray that the village would be transformed and become self-sufficient, that the children would not be malnourished. If you remember, they have the highest rate of malnourishment in Latin America, in Guatemala, and the third highest in the world in countries that actually keep statistics of it. Pray that the churches would teach and preach about Jesus, that the village would have clean water and sanitation. We will get to help in that. We will make sure that a project, we're going to have many projects over the next 5 years to 10 years, and some of them are going to have to do with water, either getting water to the village, or once it's to the village, getting water to the homes so that the people can. Did you hear how many days of school kids would miss because of diarrheal disease? 10 to 12 days, a third of school days. Well, a third of days. So, yeah, more than that. 2 weeks of school, right. Right. So half of all school days they would miss because of diarrheal diseases. And there are a lot of them, a lot of parasites and a lot of bacteria. Because they don't have clean water, and because they don't have water that they can wash their hands in, don't have any running water for toilets and things like that. It's a shock when you go use a what amounts to a porta potty and then look for a place to wash your hands and then go, yeah, you can't flush the toilet, you can't wash your hands, there's no running water. And pray that our sponsored children would be healthy and safe, that they would benefit from this. In this case, do pray specifically for their health. So let's go ahead and take turns. Who's going to focus on the elders? Who's going to pray tonight for the elders? Look, I'm taking names. Everybody's going to pray tonight. Okay? Everybody's going to pray tonight. So who's praying for the elders? Okay. Jess, I tell you what, Gideon, you pray for Domingo and his family. Okay? You'll start us off. Who's going to pray for the FH leaders in the Nabok region? Okay, Russell? Okay. What about that the village would be transformed in? Okay, Carlton? Who wants to pray for the children? Okay, Emily? How about that the churches would focus on Christ and be the center of the village in that way? Betty? Okay. Who's going to pray for the water? Okay. A little bit. Abby. And then our sponsored children. Who wants to pray for the sponsored kids? Eric? Okay. Okay. So Gideon, then Russell, Jess, then Carlton. So here are your names so you know who you're going to follow. Gideon, then Russell, Jess, then Carlton, Emily. Okay, you're after Mr. Carlton, then Betty, then Abby, and then Eric Jr. Okay? And let's go to the Lord and pray for Guatemala. We need to pray for our missions trip. There's a few things that we would be able to raise the amount of money needed to be able to send all that can go. We've raised enough for the project fee and plus a little over 1,000 more than that, maybe about 1,500 more than that. So enough for almost two people to be able to go. Pray that we would see a lot of people saved when we go and that we would be an encouragement to the believers there. That's as important as anything else. That when our church goes, we can encourage those who do know the truth so that they would freely share the gospel, that we would be able to do a significant work when we go, that it would be a long-lasting work, and that we would be prepared for the week of ministry. We're going to have to be able to be prepared as far as children's ministry goes, not just a project, but as far as actually doing some type of Bible-based children's ministry for the few days that we're there. John Mark, will you pray for these things in just a moment? Okay. And then you see there's some missionaries to be praying for. Here's some ones. Phil and Rebecca are coming home on furlough next week. Is that right? Okay. The 16th?
Well, Phil will be here on the 16th. She won't.
Oh, Rebecca's not coming with him?
No, she's coming next week.
Okay. So Phil and Rebecca are coming home soon from the mission field. And then if you look down and see the Hatchels that came and spoke to us about the Roma people, and they're going back to the Czech Republic here in about 2 weeks. So I'm going to ask, Joanne, would you pray for Phil and Rebecca? And Jimmy, would you pray for their Hatchels as they go back on the mission field? And let's go ahead and pray for those three things now, John Mark and Joanne and Jimmy. I want to close us with a video of an interesting ministry that God brought to a missionary couple in Thailand. Go ahead and hit the slide. Probably don't, just off the top of your head. No, wait, know where Thailand is. China's here. And then you have these Asian countries, Thailand right in the middle, next to what used to be called Burma. It's now Myanmar and Laos and Vietnam and Cambodia, all in this region. But watch this video, and then we'll just be closed and be in prayer for this couple. All the names are not... Oh, you can see the lights back there, too. Names are not the same. They don't publish International Mission Board missionaries' true names anymore because it's very dangerous for our missionaries on the mission field. Go ahead, Chris.
Just moved into a new house, boxes everywhere. We haven't even unpacked. I was coming home one evening and we pulled into the driveway, and sitting on our front porch was 7 baby beds left by the orphanage. That's when we knew there was no turning back.
God put us in this position. We didn't go looking for this, so how could we turn our backs and walk away when we know there's such a need for this? The orphanage said, okay, we'll come to your house on Monday and we'll bring 6 babies. So they came and they only brought 5 because the night before one of the babies died. Some of the children that we get are from failed abortions, poor families, families that don't want them, not a perfect child. They're unwanted. So at the beginning it was very tough because getting all the babies all at the same time, same day, and sick was very trying. And at that time I was beginning to wonder, did I misunderstand God? Was this not the right thing to do? And then I got to the point of where I was exhausted, and I just talked to God like I'm sitting here talking to you and said, you got me into this mess. You get me out of this mess. Originally, we homeschooled our 4 children. I didn't want to stay home, and they chose to go to international school. So I started going to the orphanage every day to volunteer. And in the room was this sick little baby. The mother tried to abort her, took some pills, and caused her to abort at home. And she survived. And I asked, is this little baby going to be adopted? And they said, we don't know. It depends on if she lives. So I asked the orphanage, well, can I take her home and care for her? Then they gave her to me the next day. I went back to the orphanage and said, you know, I could take another child. And the director said, okay, we'll give you 7.
In saying yes, we know that God has orchestrated this and will help us to do what he's asked us to do.
Anytime we have an issue, I just throw it back at God and said, I followed you, now you fix it. So he gave us strength and we continued and we found some good helpers to help us out. We could contact the prison and offer our training to girls that are getting released to give them a job opportunity and to be a live-in nanny. We contacted the prison to see if we could do some kind of release program, and they said, well, we don't have one. We've never done this before. This sounds awesome. Nobody's ever offered this opportunity to the girls.
God's been extremely patient, forgiving towards us, and so we want to do something very practical to help these girls see that they don't have to repeat the type of lifestyle that they've grown up in.
At the beginning, I was nervous how I would react towards them. I was cautious kept looking out my window. Where are they at this moment? At the very beginning, they were very shy. I think they were wondering, like, is this really real? Do we really accept them for who they are? I see attachments, emotions, where at the beginning it was still face. I see them giving the children a kiss goodbye. One has a child of her own. I often think when she's holding one, is that what she's thinking about? The years that she's lost in her own personal life with her child.
Thank you, God, for pizza. And just thank you, God, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who wants pizza? Raise your hand. And if you look at the family of these individual women, you know, there's fathers and mothers that have done the same thing. Fathers and mothers that are in prison. So we don't want to see the repeat. We would like to break the cycle of orphans. Help the women before there is a baby to give up for adoption. Each step that I saw something happen and God answer, the more bolder I got with my steps. So through the process and the growth of this home, taking in one child to now an average of 10 at a time, to training au pairs, to the juvenile center, our faith has grown and God has put us in positions to keep affecting more people's lives.
Let's pray. Lord, you have your people all over the world that you've sent out. You've put them in these situations, Lord. I pray that they would have the same determination and the same faith in you. That they would just say, Lord, you got us into this. You need to get us out. I pray for this couple, Lord, that you would continue to use them in such a powerful way. I thank you that they heard from you, that, Lord, when they were asked to take all these babies, they didn't hesitate. They saw you at work and joined you in your work, Lord. And you've done glorious things. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how anybody could have just sat down and planned this out, that they would basically start an orphanage of their own for babies that were just literally thrown away, and then train up women coming out of prison. What an incredible ministry. I pray that you would continue to bless it. And so many times in life, Lord, we just say, well, what can one person do, or what can one couple do? But Lord, that one couple is just changing the lives of I don't know how many orphans they've said, what, about 100 orphans up now, and they've trained 100 women to be au pairs, nannies. That's a lot of people whose lives have been changed because of this one couple. Lord, I pray that you would continue that ministry and that Thailand would be a place where your gospel is heard because of their witness. Lord, take hold of this country. In Christ, I pray. Amen.
This month, right?
Yeah.